This is Movies for the Blind, episode 294, Salt of the Earth, part 2 of 3.
What are they talking about in there?
Discussing each other's weaknesses.
I didn't know they had any.
Hi, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue with Salt of the Earth, which I said last time faced massive opposition getting made. That was mainly because the people making the movie weren't supposed to be making movies, at least not on American soil. After World War II, the USA turned to the potential threat of communist Russia. The House Committee on Un-American Activities was enlisted with rooting out any possible communist activity in the U.S. Hundreds of people in the entertainment industries were brought into congressional hearings and had their patriotism questioned based on maybe going to one meeting or having certain friends or, as will become relevant, having leftist or pro-union beliefs that could be considered communist enough. Those beliefs could have been considered common in the film industry due to the need to strengthen film unions way back in the Depression, regardless if anyone dropped any militancy soon after. Anyone admitting to any communist activity, or who didn't answer the committee's questions the way they wanted, were blacklisted, boycotted by the Hollywood studios, killing careers in the USA for decades. While many on the blacklist worked abroad or under assumed names, one group formed their own film company, which made this their one and only film. Producer Paul Jericho, who first visited the real strike on which the movie is based, had been blacklisted, as was writer Michael Wilson. Director Herbert Biberman was at the top of the blacklist as one of the Hollywood Ten, who even went to jail for not answering questions. Even the few professional actors involved had been blacklisted. So considering the status of these people, making a film about a union, and at a time when McCarthyism had taken the Red Scare to another level, to those in power, it seemed a very dangerous film indeed. In the film itself, however, all the danger has been suffered by the workers, most of them Mexican-Americans, at a zinc mine in New Mexico. They have fewer rights, provisions, and safety policies than their white counterparts, and one accident and casualty too many has forced their hand to finally go on strike. The miners' wives have had to look on from the sidelines, including the very pregnant Esperanza Quintero, wife of Ramon. Despite wanting to form a ladies' auxiliary to the union, the women have only just been allowed anywhere near the picket line to serve coffee and food. Where we left off, Ramon's son, Luis, had warned him of a couple scabs, men hired by the mine to work despite the strike, and so a chase is about to begin, in part 2 of 3 of Salt of the Earth. The other men hurry to Ramon.
Hold it, brothers. You, Antonio, Alfredo, Chente, come with me. The rest of you stay on the line.
The brothers do as they're told, but a wife calls to Ramon's group.
Come back!
The two boys keep running after the scabs. The sheriff motions for his deputies to get into a police car, and they do. Ramon's group hurries to head off the scabs. The one stops and goes another way. The police car pulls away with the sheriff watching. As the boys crouch down, Ramon jumps over an old fence and keeps running. The scabs are spotted some distance away.
There they go!
Spotting them rushing over rocks, Ramon picks his way down an equally rocky slope. One scab falls over a rock as the other keeps going. The first scrambles away, but Ramon has gained ground. The first scab kicks up dirt as he goes up a rise, then keeps running. One of the men heads him off and makes him run the other way, as the police car stops nearby. The first scab becomes trapped between the chasing brother and Ramon.
Yes.
Who stalks up to him.
Sebastian Prieto.
Ramon, listen to me.
For the love of God.
You! You! I'd expect it of an Anglo,
Ramon,
yes.
Ramon, I'm in
but
jail.
You,
I had to get a job.
You, who the blood sucker.
Ramon, my kid.
Two.
Ramon grabs him.
Traidora tu gente, rompe huelgas, desgraciado. You think my kids have enough to eat, you rat?
I know it's wrong. Just let me go. I'll live now. Just let me go.
You think I was gonna work you over?
He lowers his hands.
I wouldn't dirty my hands on you.
He spits on him, then is grabbed and handcuffed. He's hauled away by two deputies.
Watch out!
Luis runs for him, but a brother restrains him. They watch Ramon and the deputies, and so does Esperanza.
Luis! The baby! Get the women, quick!
They run for her as the car drives away. But it turns and stops by a tree.
Why do you stop?
A glove is pulled on.
I want to have a little talk with you while you slugged that fella back there.
But that's a lie, I didn't.
The glove smacks him.
No way to talk to a white man.
Around the line.
No, go back and get a blanket, Junior, so we can carry her.
Men run the other way, in the car.
Hey, Vance, I thought you said this bullfighter was full of pepper. Don't look so peppery now.
Oh, but he is. He's full of chili this morning.
Ramon's slugged in the gut.
He likes it hot. His Chiquita makes it good and hot for him, don't she, Poncho?
Slugged again. The man on crutches goes to the sheriff.
Sheriff, we need a doctor quick. There's a woman going to have a baby.
You take me for an ambulance driver?
This is a company doctor. We don't have a car, so you'll just get him.
You kidding? Company doctor won't come to no picket line.
He turns away. In pain, Esperanza is carried in a blanket. She's carried by four men through the marching brothers.
We can get her home. There is some time. Take her inside.
They carry her into the tiny coffee shack, where she's lowered onto the floor in the car.
Hold your head up, Poncho. That's no way to sit.
Ramon's head is down, but it's yanked up by the hair.
I'll not leave you all, you light.
Blood streams from his mouth, and he's slugged again.
God.
In the shack.
Forget me, for we shall be tougher than ever before.
In the car. One deputy yanks up Ramon's head while the other punches again.
Let me tie.
Ramon keeps getting beaten while Esperanza goes into labor.
Oh my God! Esperanza! Ramon! Ramon!
Later, in church, a baby is christened. Ramon and Esperanza stand watching.
Ramon was in the hospital for a week, and then in the county jail for 30 days, charged with assault and resisting arrest.
The godparents hold it while the priest performs the blessing.
But I made up my mind to postpone the christening till he got out of jail. We christened him Juan.
The priest takes a candle.
That night we had a double celebration. Juanito's christening, Ramon's homecoming.
The women watch men play cards.
We put all the children to sleep in the bedroom, as usual. And the men took over the parlor, as usual.
Charlie makes a bet.
$5,000. At least.
Raise it $10,000.
Dog. All right, let's see him.
Jesus, word. Come to Papa.
They play with cigarettes.
Hear those deputies lug Chente.
Yeah. Been lots of provocation lately. They figure if they can lock up the leadership on some phony charge, maybe they can bust the strike.
Are we going to let them play poker all night? I want to dance.
With whose husband?
With any of them, even my own.
If you dance with my husband, you'll have to put up with this.
Luz grabs Ruth and dances with her awkwardly. Esperanza goes into the bedroom.
And another thing, your attitude towards Anglos. If you're going to be a leader...
What attitude?
You lump them all together. Anglo workers and Anglo bosses.
He's a guest in my house, isn't he?
Frank.
You're even suspicious of him.
Maybe. I think he's got a few things to learn about our people.
Go on. Spill it.
Well, you're the organizer. You work out strike strategy, and most of the times you're dead right. When you figure everything the rank and file to do down to the last detail, you don't give us anything to think about. Are you afraid we're too lazy to take initiative?
You know I don't think that.
Maybe not. But there's another thing. Like when you came in tonight, I heard you ask your wife, who's that?
In a picture on a wall.
His grandfather? That's Juarez, the father of Mexico. If I wouldn't know a picture of George Washington, you would say I was an awful dumb Mexican.
I've never seen it fail. Try to give Ramon a friendly criticism and he kicks it right back in your face.
No, he's right. I've got a lot to learn.
Now we've got that settled. Build a cart.
Frank does.
makes you feel any better, he's got even less use for women.
What are they talking about in there?
Discussing each other's weaknesses.
I didn't know they had any.
Right now, Ramon's on the receiving end.
If we shut out the women from the life of the
Come
union...
Come on. Bet.
Let's break up that game.
We can't think of them just as housewives, but as partners. And we have to treat them as such.
Well, look who's talking. A new world's champion of women's rights.
Oh, cut it out, Ruth.
She pours coffee.
I'm a camp follower, following this organizer from one mining camp to another. Montana, Colorado, Idaho.
Esperanza nurses Juan.
Did he ever think to organize the women? No. Wives don't count in the Anglo locals either.
Ramon laughs.
Not that I like the way you treat your wife, Ramon. I think you're all wrong. But when Dr. Barnes here gives you his cure-all for female problems, just ask him if he's tried it at home.
Hey, Esperanza.
Esperanza's nursing the baby.
Ramon leaves the table.
There goes the game.
Good. Consuelo, turn off the radio. Come on, Papa.
Luz yanks up Antonio.
On your feet.
They start dancing, much like she danced with Ruth. She gestures over her shoulder, grinning. They hold one arm out high and sway sharply. Ruth nudges Frank. He gets up. And they dance together, much more gently than the Moraleses. With Esperanza.
Look at him. A fighter, huh?
He was born fighting and born hungry.
Drink. Drink, Juanito. You'll never have it so good.
He'll have it good. Someday.
She looks up at him.
What were they saying about you in there?
They say I'm not good to you.
You are not good to me in jail.
I'd lie in my cell in my cot and I couldn't sleep. With the bugs and the stink and the heat. And I'd say to myself, think of something nice, something beautiful. And then I'd think of you. And my heart would pound against the cot for love of you. Not just Juanito. You'll have it good too, Esperanza. We're gonna win the strike.
What makes you so sure?
Because if we lose, we lose more than a strike. We lose the union, and the men know it. And if we win more than a few demands. We win something bigger. Hope. Hope for our kids. Juanito can't grow strong on milk alone.
Is this the Quintero place?
What do you want?
We've got a court order.
You can't come in here without a warrant.
We got the warrant, too.
We don't want no trouble. All we want is...
Ramon goes to a deputy with another man.
We hate to break in on you folks like this, but this here fellow owned a radio store, and he got himself a repossession order.
They turn to the radio.
Don't touch it.
Esperanza comes out.
We don't want no trouble, as you can tell. We've got orders to repossess this machine.
I said don't touch it.
Let him take it.
Over my dead body.
I don't want your dead body. I don't want you back in jail either.
But it's yours. I won't let them.
Can't you see they want to start a fight so they can lock you all up at one time?
She holds him as he looks around at his brothers. When he relaxes, she lets go and stares at the two men. The deputy unplugs the radio. As he and the radio man carry it away, Ramon stalks to a guitar.
What are you so sad about? Well, let's have some real music.
He shuts the front door, and a brother plays the guitar. Later, the strikers walk in their circle.
But the strike did not end. It went on and on, into the fourth month, the fifth, the sixth. The company still refused to negotiate. They tried to turn the Anglo miners against us.
In the winter, brothers stand around a fire.
They say that all Mexicans ought to be sent back where they came from.
How can I go back where I come from? The check that I was born in is buried on the company property.
Why don't nobody ever tell the bosses to go back where they come from?
There wouldn't be any bosses in the state of New Mexico if they did.
Brother, live to see the day.
Jenkins ain't no boss.
Mean we're going to let people like Jenkins stay here?
You can't send him back to Oklahoma. It would be inhuman. But I was born in Texas.
Oh, no!
That's even worse.
And the 7th month came. We couldn't buy food at a company store.
A woman stands in front of one.
By now, the strike fund was nearly gone. A few families couldn't take it any longer.
One drives away in a loaded truck.
And where they went, we do not know. And so it was decided by the union that hardship cases should seek work in other mines. And this was done. Strikers who found jobs divided their pay with the union so the rest of us might eat. Ramon was not a hardship case. Only three children to feed.
She scrapes food onto Louise's plate.
Even so, the mine owners might have starved us out, were it not for the help we got from the International in Denver and from other locals.
Provisions are delivered.
And we, who thought no one outside our county knew of our troubles or cared if they did know, found we were wrong.
Another truck has a sign saying, Miners Relief from Building Trades Council.
Letters came from our own people of the Southwest, from far away, Butte, Chicago, Birmingham, New York, messages of solidarity, and the crumpled dollar bills of working men.
The bills are collected, letters sorted and answered by men and women.
We women were helping, and not just as cooks and coffee makers. A few of the men made jokes about it, but the work had to be done, so they let us stay. No one knew how great a change it was until the day of the crisis.
The sheriff and his deputies enter the union office.
The sheriff was smiling, so we knew he brought bad news.
He delivers a letter to Brother Luis.
The company had got a court injunction, ordering the strikers to stop picketing.
The sheriff leaves.
A Taft-Hartley injunction, they called it. It meant heavy fines and jail sentences for the strikers if they disobeyed. A decision had to be made at once, whether to obey the order or not.
Later, a meeting is held.
If we obey the court, the strike will be lost.
Dozens of women attend as well.
The scabs will move in as soon as our picket line is gone. If we defy the court, our pickets will be arrested. And the strike will be lost anyway.
Frank stands on stage up front.
So there it is, brothers. The bosses have us coming and going. I just want to say this. No matter how you decide, the International will back you up as it's always backed you up. This is a democratic union. The decision is up to you.
The men sit thinking. Esperanza and the women do the same. Frank sits up front with Luis and Charlie. Suddenly, Ramon stands.
Brother Sherman, if we give up now, if we obey this rotten Taft-Hartley, we are fools and cowards. There is only one way. Fight them. Fight them all.
Come. We don't gain nothing.
They'll arrest us. Que nos arresten. Es todo lo que les preocupa. ¿No se dan cuenta que están arrestando a nuestra unión? ¿Qué nos vamos a esconder tras de las naguas de nuestras mujeres?
The men quarreled. They made brave speeches. It seemed that Brother Barnes was right. The company had them coming and going. It seemed the strike was lost.
Teresa stands.
Brother Chairman, if you read the court injunction carefully, you will see that it only prohibits striking miners from picketing. We women are not striking miners. We will take over your picket line. Don't laugh. We have a solution. You have none. Brother Quintero was right when he said we'll lose 50 years of gain. He will lose this strike. Your wife and children, too. But this we promise. If women take your places on the picket line, the strike will not be broken, and no scabs will take your job.
She sits back down beside Esperanza. Louis stands.
If that's a motion, only members of the union can make a motion.
I so move. Second.
You have heard the motion. The floor is open for debate.
Señor Presidente, Si permitimos que nuestras mujeres se mezclen en este asunto, nos vamos a convertir en la burla de todo el movimiento obrero.
Hermano, me equivoco de eso. Las hermanas pueden ayudarnos a nosotros. Ellas no se manchan con ayudarnos a nosotros. Son nuestras compañeras.
Luz springs up.
¿Qué es, señor?
Luz asks him which was worse, to hide behind a woman's skirt or go down on his knees before the boss.
She sits back down on Esperanza's other side.
Brothers, we don't count enough on our women. The bosses don't count on them at all.
Will the bosses win now? Because there is no unity between the men, their wives, and their sisters?
A man whispers to a woman, who reluctantly stands.
No creo que es propio para las señoras que tomen...
Carlota Sanchez said she didn't think picketing was proper for ladies. It wasn't nice. Maybe even a sin.
I say let's give the sisters a chance.
Ramon stands.
And what will happen when the cops come and beat our women up? Are we going to stand there and watch them? No. We'll take over anyway. And we'll be right back where we started. Only worse. Even more humiliated. Brothers. Brothers, I beg you, don't allow this.
He sits.
Call the question.
All right. The questions have been called. You brothers know what you are voting on. That the sisters of the auxiliary take over the picket line. All those in favor will so signify.
Brother Chairman, point of order.
Teresa nudges Esperanza, and she stands. Ramon turns to her.
I don't know anything about these questions of parliament. But you men are voting on something the women are to do or not to do. So I think it's only fair if the women be allowed to vote. Especially if they have to do the job.
She sits, and Luz takes her shaking hands. Luis looks at Frank, who nods. Louis stands again.
Brothers and sisters, it would be unconstitutional to permit women to vote at a union meeting.
Some women jeer and some men clap.
If there's no objection, we could adjourn this meeting.
No.
Wait. And reconvene this meeting as a community mass meeting with every adult entitled to a vote.
I so move.
All right. On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor will raise their hands.
Most do, including Ramon.
All those opposed?
A few hands go up.
The ayes have it. Now every adult is entitled to a vote.
Who won the original question?
All those in favor that the sisters take over the picket line will so signify by raising their hands.
Most of the women's and some men's hands go up, and they are counted. Esperanza's hand is raised, and Ramon scowls at her. The man counting finishes.
All those opposed.
Most of the men's hands are raised. They are counted. When he's finished, the man counting goes to the front and whispers to Luis. As everyone waits. The counter steps away, and Luis faces the brothers and sisters.
The motion has carried 103-85.
He sits down. As everyone considers, the women look at each other. Steadying herself, Esperanza stands, and the other women start to file out. Next day, women start approaching the picket line, while cars are parked nearby.
And so they came, the women. They came from Sink Town and the hills beyond, from other mining camps, 10, 20, 30 miles away. Women we have never seen before. Women who have nothing to do with the strike. Somehow they heard about the women's picket line, and they came.
Dozens of them.
And the men came too.
Watching from the ridge.
I think they were afraid. Afraid the women wouldn't stand fast. Or maybe afraid they would. But not all the women went to the picket line. Some were forbidden by their husbands. I was one of them.
It's not fair. I should be there with them. After all, I'm the one who got the women the vote.
The union don't run my house. Those Anglo Danes stirred you up to make fools of yourself. But you don't see any of them down there.
Yes, I do. There's Ruth Barnes.
She's the organizer's wife. She's got to be there.
No, she wants to be there. And there is Mrs. Kalinsky.
There's Jenkins' wife. You don't see her on no picket line.
Anglo husbands can also be backward.
Can be what?
Backward. Can't I even put in an appearance?
With a baby in your arms?
The baby likes to be walked. It helps him burp.
Some arriving women walk between the sheriff and his deputies.
Hey, girls, wait a minute. Don't you want us to leave our pistols?
Shut up.
Alexander is with them.
What's so amusing? They're fawning a court order.
I'm not so sure about that, Mr. Alexander. Better the law, you know. All that injunction says is no picketing by minors.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
Don't get excited. They'll scatter like quail.
Well, let's get at it before another 100 dames shows up.
All right, boys.
As the catcalling deputy steps toward the line, another shows off a tear gas gun to the sheriff.
What about these?
Forget it. They'll scatter like quail.
The women keep walking in their large circle. Their men keep watching. A car heads for the line. Some women stop and watch. It goes faster, followed by others. A woman is hit. The men on the ridge stand. As the woman is helped up, her sisters hold off the brothers. More women rock the car and pull the deputies out.
If you get it, they'll start shooting you. They'll throw you in jail. Get back!
As they pull more deputies, the brothers relent. Teresa and others return to their sisters, jostling the deputies around. The mob pushes and swings at them, and they struggle against it. Women start grabbing their picket signs again, and many are able to get back to walking in their circle. The tear gas is fired, and clouds rise around the marchers. Scabs in a truck stand. The women cover their faces and keep marching. The scabs duck when the gas reaches them, but while the gas obscures the women's view, the scabs jump out of the truck. Esperanza sees them and looks down at Juan. A deputy struggles as two women fight for his pistol. Esperanza hands Juan to Ramon. As he holds him, Esperanza runs to the women struggling with the deputy, picks off her shoe and smacks the gun from his hand. She smiles, glancing at Juan. Ramon runs to Charlie and Frank.
Why are you standing there? Do something.
Relax.
But women are getting hurt. We've got to take over.
They're doing all right.
Anyway, looks like you got your hands full.
They watch the sisters mobbing the deputy. He runs away from them to the car. Other deputies do the same. The car turns around as another deputy jumps in. The sisters pick up their signs again and start marching in their circle.
Union is our leader, we shall not be moved.
Ramon sighs as Frank looks on in admiration.
We shall not be moved just like a tree, just standing by the water. We shall not be moved.
Later, in the Quintero house, Estella watches her father pace past Juan's crib. She watches him pace the other way. As he comes back past her,
Papa, I'm hungry.
So am I.
He keeps pacing. He stops when young Luis arrives.
Where's your mama?
She's coming, Charlie. Don't give her a lift. Boy, did you see the way mama whipped that deputy? Knocked the gun right
out. I don't want you hanging around there. Here?
Esperanza comes in and kisses Ramon.
You all right?
Sure.
Smiling, she ruffles Luis's hair and hugs Estella, then reaches in the crib and gets a bottle, which she takes to the kitchen. Then she goes back to Juan with it.
Must have been some experience for you, huh?
Yes.
I guess you got enough today to last you a lifetime.
I'm going back tomorrow.
Listen, you might get hurt.
I might.
If you think I'm going to play nursemaid from now on, you're crazy. I've had these kids all day.
She faces him.
I've had them since the day they were born.
I'm telling you, I don't stay home with this kid tomorrow.
Okay. And tomorrow, I take the kids with me to the picket line.
She goes back to the kitchen. Ramon looks at all his kids, then leans on the crib.
And so I came back the next day, and every day for the next month. I kept Juanita in the coffee shack, and when the weather was good and there was peace on the lines, I brought his crib outside.
She sets a bassinet on a table.
Estela played with the little ones, and Luis was in school.
A bush nearby rustles. The brothers are on the ridge.
Ramon came every day.
He plays guitar.
Just watching. The ladies, well, they criticize Ramon for not keeping the kids.
As the sisters walk in their circle, a few of them step into the middle and dance. A couple more join in.
For a while, the sheriff's men left us alone.
To the side.
But then they cursed us, insulted us, called us foul names. It started again.
Wheels spin on a truck trying to push through the line, but the sisters hold it back. They reach through the windows and open the hood, snapping a line. Then close it.
They used tear gas again. This time the wind was against us.
They fire the gas.
We spread out as we had planned. And I took the baby away from the danger, as we had planned.
With Esperanza and Juan away, the sisters widen their circle around the gas and keep going.
But they couldn't break our line. They couldn't break it.
The sheriff leans into Alexander's car.
Well?
I've tried everything but shooting them down.
You haven't tried locking them up.
You want them all arrested?
He smokes his pipe.
No. Just the ringleaders, the fire eaters. The ones with big families. Barton, where's that boy?
Hey, you. Come here.
The scab Ramon had spit on goes to the Anglos. The sheriff sizes him up. And Buck puts a hand on his shoulder as they step toward the line. Teresa is supervising.
All right, girls. I'm going to give you a choice. You can go home or go to jail. No ifs, ands, or buts. Get off the picket line or get arrested.
Teresa ignores him and the women keep marching.
Okay. Point him out.
That one, Teresa Lan. She's the leader.
You're under arrest. Home of the hoose girl. What's that be?
Keep marching, sisters. Let's show some discipline. But Teresa, they'll charge us with resisting arrest. Keep marching, sisters. Keep marching.
Breaking the deputy's grip, she walks away. The scab points.
Mrs. Salazar, the old one.
She's taken away.
Shana Diaz, that one in the blue dress.
She's taken away.
Luz Morales, that one.
Luz is taken.
Mrs. Kalinsky, the Anglo.
A deputy goes to get her.
Ruth Barnes. She's the organizer's wife.
She avoids a deputy's grip and walks off, while the other arrested sisters go into the back of a truck.
And Dana Alvarez, the pretty one.
The sheriff smirks.
And that one.
With the baby? She's Ramon Quintero's wife. He doesn't like her being here.
The deputy goes to Esperanza and stops her.
Take care of the baby, Esperanza.
Don't worry about Juanito. We can take care of Estela, too.
No, the baby stays with me.
As they're taken away, Ramon stands, and Estela watches. A child runs for one of two trucks filled with sisters and climbs on. They pull away.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
Several women are left marching. But more women soon arrive. They wave as they join their sisters on the line. More and more of them walk to join them. Well, the ladies have been pretty tough so far, but how will Esperanza and her friends fare in jail? Can the strike survive without them? Find out in the conclusion next time on Movies for the Blind. Showbiz people weren't the only ones put on a blacklist, though more than 300 did suffer from it. Public and private investigations into people's lives were conducted in universities and other schools, in law offices, shipyards, and really any company that just wanted to look appropriately patriotic. The blacklists themselves were not usually public, and usually the identities of accusers and even the accusations were kept secret from the accused. Hundreds were jailed, and many thousands lost their jobs, based on little to no evidence of any intention to overthrow democracy. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast Creative Commons license. We're now happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say nice things. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.